L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Tuesday. He's Big Joe, I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. We'll talk to Scott Ramsey from the Transperfect Music City Bowl coming up at the bottom of the hour. Missouri and Iowa come into town on December 30th here at Nissan Stadium. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, they're bringing in the longest tenured college football coach.
Ferentz?
Yep.
Is he now?
04? He beat Saban in Saban's last year at LSU in the Citrus Bowl.
Oh, wow.
So that was 04 because Saban went to the Dolphins in 5 and 6 and was at Bama and 7. So he's been there since 4. So he's the longest. It's got to be.
I kind of thought that Eli Drinkwitz from Missouri, his name would be out there for some other jobs.
I think he's just goofy.
And he is, but I don't think he's a bad coach.
No, but do you want a goofy head coach? I think he's goofy.
Tennessee hired Butch Jones, so.
Butch wasn't goofy at the time. Butch became goofy.
No, he was always that. He had those silly little sayings at Central Michigan and Cincinnati. But
I don't think Butch was prepared for, look, he'd won 3 titles at like Central Michigan, did really good at Cincinnati.
Butch just wasn't an SEC coach.
Just wasn't there.
He wasn't a big boy coach.
He's doing well at Arkansas. Just got an extension at Arkansas State.
You know what, like, the UCF just did? They just did something really, really smart, bringing Scott Frost back. I don't think he's a big-time coach, but that's a great program for him.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, he got overwhelmed in Nebraska.
Yeah.
But so those
some guys just aren't meant for the big stage.
Yeah. But this, your Butch slander, I'm sick of it.
Butch, please. So we didn't get a chance to really talk about the playoff much yesterday. I think that now, whether they admit it or not, I think the committee, I think college football, I think all the commissioners, the coaches, they've all learned a lot this year. So I do wonder if some tweaks are coming, because if I'm being honest with you, you know, based on the rules, based on the criteria that has been put forth, you know, Alabama got left out. Alabama probably should have gotten left out. However, can we really sit here and say these are the best 12 teams in college football competing for the championship? My answer to that is no.
I'm with you. God, I thought we'd be disagreeing on that. No, I'm with you. But again, the factor of an SMU 10-2 team versus an Alabama 9-3 team, I don't know where you lay with this. I mean, it's, you don't lose to Vanderbilt, you don't lose to Oklahoma, but then again, you know good and well if SMU's in the SEC, they ain't 10-2.
They're not.
So I don't know how you correlate all this together. It's really, there's a reason Archie Manning got off this committee 10 years ago.
Well, it's like do you factor record? Do you factor strength of schedule?
Obviously not.
Do you factor conference? You know, I mean, there's a lot of different – I mean, you can't have it all. It won't all fit. Doesn't all work. I mean, what happened was the SEC cannibalized itself. They're not going to admit that, and, you know, they're all going like, well, you know, I guess our out-of-conference schedule, you know, we just don't need to worry about that anymore. Your losses were to in-conference.
Right. No, you're
like, that's
correct.
Alabama's problem is they lost in-conference. And so they lost to Vanderbilt, they lost to Oklahoma, and then what was the third
Tennessee.
One? Tennessee, yeah. So, you know, here's my thing. Don't lose to a 6-6 Oklahoma team. The Vanderbilt loss at the time didn't hurt them as much because Vandy was good. Vandy was a lot better than people thought they were.
All right, let me ask you.
But don't get boat raced by Oklahoma.
Right. Does Arizona State belong here?
Based on the criteria, yes.
They won the conference.
Right.
So they're there. Clemson the same way. The Power Four teams that won the conference, yeah, you're guaranteed a spot.
But
you got to plug
in the other end. Based on everything else, no. No, they don't. Like, I can make an argument for, like, what's Arizona State in now, the Big 12? Is that what they won?
Yes.
BYU is probably the better team.
Well, then
but BYU struggled down the stretch.
That's it. If you win your conference championship games, you deserve
Colorado is probably a better team.
Win.
Right.
You have the opportunity to win your conference championships. Go out and win it. So Arizona's – I'd love to see Arizona State run the table.
Sure.
Why not? You know?
I'd love to see Clemson. I mean, if – oh, my gosh. If Dabo does – like, if Clemson wins it all, which I don't think they're going to, but if they did, Dabo Sweeney is going to be insufferable because he's going to look at everybody and be like, transfer portal my ass.
Right.
NIL my ass. Watch this. Language, I know.
That's two languages in the top of the hour when kids are listening.
Within 10 seconds.
Could you imagine if they, okay, if Clemson beats Texas, then they got to play Arizona State, they beat Arizona State, then they're shuttled all the way to the semifinals where they're going to take on probably Oregon. That would be something, man, to watch that. Because then he would have an argument about Portal, and you'd have to listen to it. You would have to listen to the argument from Dabo Sweeney about the portal doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
You have no choice.
Because he would have, like, but again, it's playing to the system. It's playing to the criteria. And I think my biggest question now is, and for a long time, I was the, if you're going to expand the playoff, if you win your conference, that should be an automatic bid.
Uh-huh.
But here's how I was looking at that. It's because where do I live? What conference do I watch the most?
Mm-hmm.
Winning the SEC is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because it's the toughest conference in football to win.
Right.
There were probably six or seven teams that had a legit argument about being in this playoff this year. Right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong there?
You're right.
The Big Ten would probably be next. But in the Big Ten, there were probably four teams that had an argument to be in the playoff this year. Everybody else, they're not in that program. They're not in that ballpark. The ACC, no. The Big 12, no. Before it disbanded the Pac-12, no. There's no other, and then you want to add the Group of Five, which that's a whole nother subject.
One needs to get in.
That's fine. That's fine. But then do a Group of Five playoff too.
But we'll
argue about that.
But later. Is Boise a three? No. They are mid-level SEC
based
team.
On the criteria, they are.
They are a mid-level SEC squad. I'm telling you right now.
I'm not saying I disagree with you. But based on the criteria that has been set forth, they are the three seed.
Yeah, I know.
They're
I know.
Better. Like, okay, well, let me ask you this. Let's take the SEC and put it over here for a second.
Okay.
Do you think Boise's better than Arizona State?
No.
I do.
Okay.
I do. Do you think they're better than Clemson?
No.
I think that they're more evenly matched than maybe you're saying they are.
Based on
what I've watched, based on the eye test. I mean, Clemson got boat raced by Georgia, and then they did navigate some waters and found their way to a spot.
So you're
they
mad
had to
at,
luck into it.
You're mad at Clemson for winning the ACC.
I'm not mad at Clemson. Good for them. They lucked into it. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Quit stealing my damn line.
I gave you credit for it.
Thank you. I got that from Lou Holtz.
Okay. I was about to say, who'd you steal it from?
Lou Holtz came and spoke at our junior college time. He's like, it's sometimes better to be lucky than good. And I was like, all right, man.
Yeah.
Great speaker, though.
But,
great speaker.
You all wanted chaos. This is the chaos.
Hold on, go back. You think Boise State's better than Clemson?
Yeah.
We have to get you checked out, man, after this.
Well, we're about to find out.
Right, we are, aren't we?
But here's the thing. Boise's in a bad way because they got to play SMU or Penn State.
Oh, well, part of the deal.
And then I think Penn State probably blows SMU out of the water.
Can we be in agreement on this? Oregon is by far and away the best team.
Yeah, no question.
I mean, just watching them Saturday night, I mean, I know their defense is suspect. I get that. But my goodness. And I just realized this last night. Because I don't look too far ahead, that if Tennessee wins against Ohio State, which I think they will, do you know where that next game is being played?
It would be the Rose Bowl.
Unbelievable. to see the Vols in the Rose Bowl versus Oregon. That would be something, man.
That'd be cool. That'd be
really cool. That'd be really
cool.
But,
like, if I'm Oregon, I'm pissed because we're the best team. We're the number one overall seed, and you're giving us Tennessee or Ohio State?
Yeah, and that's the thing. This committee's in love with Indiana, who played absolutely nobody. And I know that's the schedule. I get it. Shut up. I understand all that. But they played nobody. Now they get a rule in the Notre Dame.
So
can both those teams lose?
Maybe. I have an idea I want to throw.
Chasing
you.
Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Tuesday.
I present this idea to you and the audience.
Talking some college football playoff.
Okay, I like this.
We'll do that coming up next.
Sure. Chasing Big Joe,
Skyler says,
Nashville Hotel.
Is Boise State 102.5,
106.3, the game.
Or would Dylan Sampson look as good as Ashton Jeanty playing in the same conference?
Bingo. Thank you.
Interesting.
That's a great. What's the texter's name again?
Skyler.
Skyler, thank you. That is one of the best texts we've ever gotten. Yeah, I think absolutely. Because I think they're pretty much equal. And don't give me this. Well, he's not invited to the Heisman, whatever. Sampson's a damn good running back.
2459 says, Dabo is an idiot. I can't stand that man. Go Gamecocks. If South Carolina was in, no one would want to play them. They are dangerous. I agree. Look, I wanted to see South Carolina get in just because I think they could have done something.
National expert said that South Carolina should have called the committee and said, hey, we were robbed out of the LSU game. That should be a win for us. Don't look at it as a loss.
That doesn't.
Who the hell said that? And I don't know. What are you talking about? Yeah, I mean, you lost the game. These refs are not infallible. I mean, they make mistakes. And so I get all that. But you can't go back and say, we should have won because of that call. No.
So here's my idea. I think there's going to be some tweaks to this. And I do want to see it at 12 for a while before they go to 16. But I think they'll go to 16 probably in the next couple of years. My one tweak I would make is after the first round reseed, and here's what I mean by that. You have right now in a bracket, you have the winner of the 8-9 goes and plays the 1, right? Whereas the 12-5, what I would do is if Clemson beats Texas, which they're not going to do, but let's say they're still alive, then the 12 should play the 1.
Okay. No, I'm
the lowest remaining seed should play the highest remaining seed.
Basketball up when they did that too? Didn't they try to do that in basketball? Look, that's the bracket you got. Keep
the NHL
bracket.
Used to do it that way, and I liked it. I that's just my personal preference that the lowest remaining seed should play the highest remaining seed. So, but they're actually it's set like basketball right now. You have the 12-5. You have the
right.
The 8-9, you have the 6-11. I mean, it's set up just like basketball.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I like how it is right now. I'm like, Oregon's going to scout both teams. We have game plans for both Tennessee and Ohio State. That's the advantage of getting there and getting the bye set up. So I don't like the whole resetting. Look, it is what it is.
Would you like it better if they just went to 16 and there's no first round byes?
No.
Because one plays 12, two plays 11.
These four teams are in the bye, and then what you're going to do if you go from 12, because they're already going to expand to 14 in, 2 years? I know they are. And then
I think it's 16.
And then the 15, 16, or 17, 18 team is going to be bitching because they didn't get in. It's not going to stop.
Look, someone's always going to complain because they didn't get in. That's fine. But I don't know. I don't think I don't think there is a perfect solution to it. But – that if you're going to keep it at 12, which I'm fine with 12, I think 12 is a good number.
Right.
I think they should have gone to 8 years ago instead of 4, but they went from 4 to 12. And, just my suggestion would be reseed after the first round if you're going to keep it like this.
Yeah. I'm indifferent. I'm indifferent. I'll think about that as we go on. But right now, I like the way it's set up, what to expect. Know that Boise State's going to play in the Fiesta Bowl versus SMU or Penn State. Otherwise, we wouldn't know who they're going to be facing. Right now, leave it like it is. There's a lot of flaws. We can nitpick the whole thing here. But, I'd love to see Tennessee just beat Ohio State. That Oregon game, chihuahua. They beat Oregon. If they beat Oregon, they might have that shot to the national championship. Because I think Arizona State, Clemson, and Texas, I don't know if Texas survives that. I don't know. And if they do, I think by the time that they get to the Cotton Bowl, I mean the Cotton Bowl Classic, if Texas makes that and Tennessee's there, holy cow, man. So I like what the expectation of what could be and what could happen here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. To me, is just, I love it. I'm telling you, the chaos is great. Sunday was great trying to figure things out. Down the stretch, what's going on? And like, you look about what happened. Had SMU beat Clemson, then Bama would have gotten in.
Bama's probably, in.
Right? You know, I mean, so it happens. And now we argue about it for a while, but let's just enjoy what we have right here and go back and, you know, that night game in Columbus, Tennessee and Ohio State. I mean, everybody is going to be watching that game on Saturday night.
It's so interesting because, like, if you go and you actually look at the rankings, like, and look at the top 12, Bama's 11 and Arizona State's 12, Clemson's 16. So if you go straight top 12, Bama's in. And that's Bama's gripe. Like, hey, we're in the top 12. But because of the automatic bids, Arizona State and Clemson took spots.
Right. Yeah.
And you know who you should be pissed at is Miami. Miami losing to Syracuse screwed a lot of this up because, you know, Clemson wouldn't have been in the championship game. Miami would have been. It would have been Miami SMU. And the, you know, probably both teams get in.
Can I say it again?
Go ahead.
It's so much better to be lucky.
Yeah.
That is good. It really, really is. And you made a good point about Clemson. If Miami wins that game, Clemson, Dabo and them are going to the Pop-Tart Bowl or whatever they are. They're not going to play in this.
Because Clemson on that day lost to South Carolina.
Yeah.
But and they still get in the championship game. And then it's like, okay.
Well, maybe South Carolina should go to the ACC. And, I mean, it's just, we could nitpick this all day long, but when the games you're supposed to win, Clemson was supposed to win, and you had to, they all get help. They all get help down the stretch. They all do. And so now you got your 12, and then we'll go with this. But right now, Oregon, just, it's going to be so tough to stop them.
Let's play a hypothetical. I go to you and I say, hey, you're the college football czar. You can do whatever you want.
Thank you, buddy.
You can knock two teams out and put two teams in. Who are you knocking out and who are you putting in?
Indiana's gone, and I'm putting South Carolina in there. I think Indiana is just – that is just fool's gold. They're gone.
Okay.
And it's tough because the other ones kind of deserve to be there. So I don't know who else I'd plug in there.
I don't really think Arizona State deserves
They won the conference.
I know, but
– So you can't – I like the question, but they earned their right to be there.
But conference – that aside, you just – two teams.
I don't know. It's not Miami. I'm not putting Miami in there.
No. I mean, I'm putting Bama and South Carolina in.
Oh, he's such a homer. SEC homer.
Oh, yeah, I am.
I can't take State out because they earned their way in.
I'm taking Clemson and Arizona State out. I'm putting, again, college football czar, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
That's the spirit of the question. But based on the criteria, they don't deserve to be in.
Well, we're going to nitpick all these schools anyway. You know, Georgia earned every right to be there with the SEC.
They beat Texas twice.
That schedule, oh, my goodness. And they did. I know they lost to Ole Miss, but, yeah, they got the job done. Now, some have said, you know, Tennessee didn't face South Carolina, didn't face Missouri. You know, but you did play Florida, which I think Florida's a damn good football team. And I think Florida is going to be a team to watch.
Georgia's the team that of anybody can sit there and go, yo, look at our schedule and look at everybody else's. Yeah. They're the one that can do that.
That Georgia-Oregon national championship game would be interesting because the Oregon coach wants that Georgia job. Even though he's not saying, then that's where he came from.
Dan Lanning? Yeah. Georgia had to play at Alabama. Lost. At Texas,
won.
At Ole Miss,
lost.
Tennessee, and then play Texas again in the championship game.
Yeah. That's the thing, Chase. We can go through all these schedules and take out this and that and this and that. You know, Alabama shouldn't have lost to Oklahoma and Vanderbilt. South Carolina shouldn't have lost LSU and Alabama. They had a chance to win both those games. Who else beat South? Oh, the Kentucky? No, who beat South Carolina? Somebody beat them really bad.
Bama, let's see. They lost to LSU. They lost to Ole Miss.
Yeah. Ole Miss beat the tar out of them.
And then Bama. They lost to Bama by two, Ole Miss by three, or LSU by three, and then Ole Miss beat the crap out of them.
Yeah. So, again, I think the teams for the
but
most
after
part,
they lost to Alabama, they won six in a row.
Yeah, I mean that's just part of it, man. That's why we're gonna like, we'll expand to 14, then it's 16 bitching, then 18 yelping, and then on and on and on. But now we deal with what we have here, and just go forward, look and see what happens. But I'd love to see Tennessee, Oregon in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
is that New Year's Eve?
Let me see here.
I think it's New Year's Day.
New Year's Day, baby.
Let me pull up my program grid here because I have that on the old 102.5 The Game program grid. Yes, you can hear that on New Year's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Starting at like 3 o'clock.
Love it, man.
First, you got the Peach Bowl, then the Rose Bowl, then the Sugar Bowl.
You get all of them that day?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. You probably have Texas, Arizona State, which would be great. And that's going to be in the Peach Bowl. And then hopefully Tennessee and Oregon, and the nightcap would be
New Year's Eve night, you got the Fiesta Bowl.
What? Okay, yeah. I'm looking at this. I can't see anything. Part of getting old. And then the All-State Sugar Bowl, Georgia. Oh, man. Would you love to be in New Orleans if, say, Notre Dame beats
Indiana? I would
Indiana?
Always love to be in New Orleans.
As they say, every time you go to New Orleans, it takes 6 weeks off your life.
Yeah,
so be careful. Much. I love it, man.
Scott Ramsey's going to join us from the Music City Bowl. We'll get his thoughts on the matchup and things to expect there. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I love that one. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game here on this Tuesday. Before we talk a little more college football, caller number 4 at 615-737-1025 will qualify to win a pair of tickets to the all-inclusive Eurostone Club at Bridgestone Arena to see Brett Eldridge on Friday, December 20th. This contest is supplied by Green Trees Company, a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary. Check them out online at Green Trees with a Z, company.com. We'll select the winner on Monday. And Green Trees is located in Hendersonville and a new location in West Nashville. So good luck. We say hello now to Scott Ramsey. He is the president of the Transperfect Music City Bowl. Iowa and Missouri coming to our city on December 30th with a 1:30 kickoff. Scott, how the heck are you?
Doing good, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Joe and I are going to be there. We're going to be doing the pregame show, so we are excited about this game. I feel like with the way things shook out this year, there were a lot of options to choose from. How did it come down to Iowa and Missouri?
Oh, boy, you're right. I mean, I tell you, the college football landscape, and especially postseason, is really a difficult one to easily explain over the last couple of years with all the changes. Obviously, conference realignment to the 12-team playoff insertion to just 2 or 3 years removed from COVID. So, you know, it's different, Chase, that's for sure. But, you know, in the end, I think both conferences that are partners with us, the Big Ten and the SEC, have different processes. You know, we're in the fifth year of our six-year agreement there. The SEC side is much more collaborative. The conference office has much more of a control into that process. But, you know, as we look at it, there were really 4-9-3 teams in the end once Alabama didn't make it into the playoff. And I knew we were kind of in line to get one of those 9-3 teams. They were going to make some matchups, and certain people had some destination preferences. But, you know, pretty excited about it. I mean, when you start thinking about two teams this year that combined win 17 games in those two conferences that didn't make it into the playoff, I think we're going to have one of the most competitive games in the bowl landscape on the field. And, you know, first time ever for Missouri. They wanted to come here, which I think says a lot in today's world of, hey, I just missed out. I got, you know, maybe a raw deal and a lot of opt-outs and transfer portal kids and those kind of things. But I think when you got a team that's excited about coming to your city, you know, it's a real positive right now in the environment that we're in.
And am I right? Wasn't this supposed to be 2020? Wasn't this supposed to be the matchup? So we finally get it.
It was, Joe. Boy, you know, it's hard to believe that's been, you know, 4 years ago. But, yeah, you know, if you remember, the season was delayed. The bowls that were trying to play, it was kind of a come in and out, 4,000 or 5,000 people limited in the stadium. And we did. We had Missouri, Iowa. And unfortunately, that was a couple days we were going to play because we changed our game date. And it was right after the downtown bombing, Joe, if you remember, you know, on 2nd Avenue. And Then there's a real question of could we play because of safety, and they'd set up the TBI and the FBI, you know, all their operations over at the stadium. And so we worked through that, and we were able to move forward because of the limited number of fans that were going to come that year because of the downtown situation and then a COVID outbreak in Missouri 24 hours before the game. We had the banners up and the field painted and everything, and unfortunately had to cancel. So it's nice to have those two teams. And I tell you, they've only played one time since 1910, and they're bordering states right there. So I think we're looking for an exciting game on the field and a lot of black and gold on both sides of the stadium this year.
Talking to our good friend Scott Ramsey here on the Chase and McJoe Show. All right, so you said Alabama, and of course, I have two friends who text me immediately. Was there a chance that you could have gotten Alabama? And these are insane Alabama fans. So I'm asking, was Alabama ever on the board? I like the matchup you got because they're going to travel, but was Alabama, Scott, ever on the board?
You know, anymore, Joe, everybody's on the board. I think the way it works now is, and I'll try to describe it best I can, but, you know, the Citrus Bowl has an old-fashioned pick, a draft order. But then after that, you take Tampa, Nashville, Jacksonville, Houston, and Las Vegas this year's five of us that all have an even deal. And we try to make, with the conference office kind of serving as the hub, the best matchups you can make throughout that system. Try to avoid rematches. Try to avoid repeat trips the best you can. And also try to also think about trying to fill up your city and your stadium the best you can with some regional. Now, we're a little different regionally because we had Missouri, we had Ole Miss, we had Alabama. They were all very regional here. And, you know, some of the more Western schools fit better, like LSU and A&M, into, you know, Vegas and Houston. So as you kind of play that process through, you know, Alabama was obviously on the bubble. You had some either-or matchups, and they just decided to put Alabama in Tampa this year and put Missouri here. And, you know, I'm happy. You know, we've never had Missouri before, and they're excited about being here. You know, they won 19 or 20 games here in the last 2 years, so I think we're getting a team on the rise. But it's always an option. I mean, we had scenarios with four or five teams, Joe, to be honest with you. It was just a very, very convoluted process there the last, 36 to 48 hours.
Is it like, and this is such a stupid question, I apologize, Scott, because I'm full of stupid questions.
No, hey.
Is this
I got a stupid answer.
Is this like fantasy football? I mean, are you behind another school and like, oh, we're going to take team A? You're like, all right, well, I'm going to take team G because you took team A. Is it that kind of process? How does this all work?
I swear I've never worked in politics, but I feel like it's all politics, Joe, to be honest with you, a little bit. You know, you're thinking about matchups. So if you take four or five of us in there, obviously Alabama, Michigan ended up being there. But, you know, in Tampa, it very well could have been the game here. You know, I mean, so you start kind of moving some things around. Now, the Big Ten process is a little bit different. I mean, We kind of have a draft order. We pick third in that order, right behind Tampa. It goes Orlando, Tampa, Nashville. And there are some rules kind of a little more, you know, bumpers in that one. In other words, you can pick a team within one win of the best team available at the time you pick. And Illinois went to the Citrus, and Tampa was kind of deciding between, you know, Iowa and Michigan, and ended up going to Michigan with a win over Ohio State late. And a lot of Michigan people live in, you know, Florida and that kind of stuff. So anyway, they go Michigan. So we had Iowa at 8-4, and we just felt like that was, you know, 6-3 in the conference, finished fifth in the conference. We just felt like that was the right team, you know, to pick. And so once we had Iowa, then you start kind of playing some matchup games on the SEC side, and we had some options in there, but ultimately. You know, it's just kind of where it fell. I don't know how to describe it, a very structured process, because it's very unstructured. You just kind of talk through some things, you know, what you think the best matchup, who wants to be there, who you think can kind of, you know, bring the most people, what's the best look on TV, have they played before, are they going to play next year in a non-conference game? You know, so you start kind of going through all those permutation combinations, and you just kind of end up with where you ended up. And South Carolina fell to Citrus, and Alabama to Tampa, Ole Miss to Jacksonville, and Missouri to here. That was kind of the 4-9-3 teams that had some priority in the process.
The Scott Ramsey from the Transperfect Music City Bowl is here with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. So I'm always curious of, you know, of asking these questions, Scott. As the landscape of college football changes, the city of Nashville is changing. We're going to have a new stadium here in a few years. So what does the future look like for this bowl game as college football in Nashville grow?
Well, that's a great question, Chase, and certainly one that we're very cognizant of. I think there's a couple ways to answer that. First and foremost, I think the commissioners, once they get in the room, they're going to have to decide what postseason college football looks like in 2026 and beyond. Like I said, we've got this year and next year in our current agreements, and even those are being nationally modified. I mean, you have no Pac-12. We signed all these deals in 2019. We've absorbed COVID, conference realignment, 12-team playoff, transfer portal expansion, all kinds of stuff in this six-year window. So the commissioners are going to sit down with the CFP as a group and say, what's postseason as a whole look like in 2026 in the next contract cycle with ESPN? So this year and next year, I think we're going to look very similar to where we are. However, I mean, from a bowl standpoint, however, I really don't know where we can or what we can pursue in 2026 and beyond. Will we pursue the national championship bid? Absolutely. But after that, are more games going to be on campus or less games going to be on campus? You're going to go from 12 to 14 or to 16, as some suggest. Don't know where those games are going to be played. When are those games going to be played? So I feel really good about where we are because I think we're really preparing ourselves to be reactive to those decisions once they're made. But we can't influence those decisions. So what's the decision to look like? Where can we insert? Where can we compete? What are our options? And I think we're really going to be prepared to be as aggressive as possible once that structure is kind of laid before us.
I love it. I love the answer, and I love the work you guys put together to do this. I think it's going to be this is going to be a great matchup, bringing a lot of people to our town. My final thing for you, Scott, you know the Pop-Tart Bowl, they lower the Pop-Tart into the toaster. Can you lower Chase as a giant ice cube into a big thing of an old-fashioned during the game? If you could pull this off, Scott, I'd be forever grateful.
I tell you what, Joe, I thought you were going to go a different direction and beg me to get you down there so you can take a bite of the Pop-Tart.
I'll do that too, but I want to see Chase.
Went another direction to the old-fashioned, and I think I'm in on the old-fashioned.
Yes!
I'm in.
Oh, does Chase, he doesn't mind, dress up as a giant ice cube and we'll lower it down. Thank you for Scott. Thank you for this.
Oh, gosh. You guys are a mess, man.
Oh, you have no idea. Scott, we appreciate it as always. We're looking forward to continuing the partnership. Joe and I will be there. But Iowa and Missouri on December 30th at 1:30 at Nissan Stadium, Transperfect Music City Bowl. Going to be a lot of fun. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Scott Ramsey joining us here on the program, the president of the Transperfect Music City Bowl. And again, we'll have the full coverage for you. You can hear the game right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Starting at 1:30.
It's a fun game. It's a fun environment. They do such a great job with the Music City Bowl the week leading up to it. Well done. So that'll be fun.
Can I just tell you that I hope that with you and I doing this, that a few years ago when Floyd and Jared did it, the ESPN broadcast ran over from another game. So Jared and Floyd had to start the game doing play-by-play. I really hope that happens with us.
Oh, no.
That'd be so much fun.
Okay, you're in control, man. You got this.
Johnson fields it at the 25. I can do play-by-play.
That's great. And I'll just say, yep.
You'll be like, no, knowing you, you'd be like, why did he miss that block over there?
Damn shotgun from the one. These teams are crazy.
That's the first play we get to goal. That'd be great. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Here on this Tuesday, real quick, Alex Doherty of the Tennessean putting out Andrew Brunette having a media availability. He was asked about healthy scratching players, especially top players, to send a message. Brunette responded, quote, I could probably scratch every guy on the team, end quote.
It's kind of weird.
Interesting there to make of it. Well, I don't have the full quote. I'm sure there was more to answer. But you know,
I don't want the coach scratching me. I mean, that's just odd. He shut up.
You shut up. Did you watch any of the Simpsons broadcast last night?
I did not.
I watched for a little bit. It was okay. It was funny. I mean, they had Stephen A. They put Homer in at quarterback. He threw a touchdown pass for the Cowboys.
To who?
Brandon Cooks.
Oh, okay.
So they took Cooper Rush out and put Homer in. That was pretty funny. So it was cool. It was neat. But with that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All right, gentlemen. Short list today, but it's still a good one. Dewey Decimal System
Day. We'll decide
that. Okay. Dewey Decimal System Day is today.
Still got that around?
Yeah.
It's the most complicated, confusing thing ever.
And no, that's women.
Next,
I kid.
Next list, we have Festival for the Souls of Dead Whales. So, shout out to the whales.
Huh?
It just says Festival for the Souls of Dead Whales.
Okay. You know, whatever.
There's a lot of those over at SeaWorld. They've done a lot.
Just festivals? Just move on.
Let's see. Next, we have Human Rights Day.
Good.
We also have National Lager Day.
Like Noble. Beer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then to wrap it all up, Nobel Prize Day.
Oh, nice.
Nobel Peace Prize?
No, Nobel. No, Nobel. No, Nobel.
Huh? The Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, but it doesn't say Peace Prize. It just says...
But that's what Nobel. It is.
Yeah.
The Nobel Prize.
Okay.
It is the Peace Prize.
All right. Well,
it's the same thing.
Time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get these within two. First one, actor-director Kenneth Branagh.
74.
64.
Dr. Crane knows his good English directors. Chef Bobby Flay.
52. 58. 60.
Dr. Crane's on a roll, hitting the outside corner early today. That's So Raven. Raven Simone. God, I watched that show a billion times.
34.
41.
39. Dr. Crane up 3-0. Just tapping the outside of the plate. Let's see. Don't know who that is. Go down here. Country singer Johnny Rodriguez. Yeah.
Uh, 61. 56.
73. Actress Susan Day from L.A. Law, The Partridge Family.
76.
81.
72. Actress Nia Peoples. I was actually in a movie with Nia Peoples called X's and O's. I played her bodyguard 30 years ago. True story. I'm a man of many talents, master of none.
68.
70.
63. The drummer of the White Stripes, Meg White.
47.
51.
50. Dr. Crane's up 4-0. Hitting singles, baby. Singles can win games for you. All these country singers I've never heard of. How does one become a country singer? We're going to move on. We got
you
three
hold
left.
The guitar and sing a little.
Hey, 4-0 right now. All right, we got three more. Former DePaul and Detroit Pistons star Mark Aguirre.
57.
60.
65. My favorite baseball pitcher of all time, the geek, Paul Ostenmacher from the Braves.
65.
67.
64. 4-1.
Finally, I'm on the board.
Last one, Joe Burrow. How old is Joe Burrow?
27.
26.
27 exactly, but Chase loses 4-3. Valiant effort. You never quit. I tell you, never quit.
Never give up. Never surrender. That'll do it for us.
Good job. Hey, we leave the show every day to our guys out there. If you're struggling, need to talk to somebody on your cell phone, you can text or call 988. Somebody's always there to talk to you. Before you do anything in life and you're upset or anything, please talk to somebody. We tell you all the time how much God loves you, and your journey is your journey. It's a beautiful journey. I know you go through dark clouds. I get that. We've been there, but we love you. And if something happened to you, you'd be tremendously missed. Know that. Know that your smile lights up a room, and when somebody thinks about you, they smile, because we do. We love you, and more importantly, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Help!
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.